Good to have you here. You can always find out more at SteveGruber.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow on Twitter and Instagram. Don't miss a thing. And you can go to SteveGruber.com and go back to the podcast of every program going back years now. You could spend years listening to great interviews. And if you want to share one with your friends, certainly do so. My next guest, James Homan, Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. James, welcome back.
Good morning.
You know, we talk a lot about debt in this country. We don't do much about it. We talk a lot about it, whether it's at the federal level or the state level. Although here at the state level, not many people talk about the fact that we're tens of billions of dollars in debt in Michigan. And then you look around at pension debt locally of big governments and something you bring to the attention of the folks today. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right that it should be tough for state and local governments to get into fiscal trouble. We have balanced budget requirements. There's usually voter approval of any new debt. You're not supposed to find yourself underwater. And, in fact, there is a constitutional requirement that pensions get pre-funded. That is, when a person earns a dollar's worth of pension today, their government sets aside a dollar to pay for what they've earned. But we've drastically underfunded pensions in state and local governments, and we just released a report about the 100 largest municipalities and their pension debt. And there's a wide diversity, but most of them find themselves underwater, and to the tune of $5.6 billion, that's around $1,000 per person.
And well, that's incredible. I mean, this brings me back to public sector unions were always an idea that was not even supported by Franklin Roosevelt. I look at these things and I say, how do we get ourselves in such debt? And to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like people were negotiating but playing with other people's money. And so when they're negotiating, you know, it's one thing when the UAW negotiates with Ford and General Motors, they're playing with their own money, right? But in this case, they're playing with somebody else's.
Yeah. In this case, I don't know exactly how much public sector unionization has encouraged this, partially because this hurts employees themselves. Like, if there's not the money to pay the pensions, well, those are union members' pensions. And theoretically, a union should be a good counterweight on local governments to ensure that those pension systems are properly funded. I just haven't quite seen that here in Michigan. And in fact, some of the places that are underfunded the most are old-time union strongholds, like the city of Flint is the worst
spender,
and that's $3,600 per person.
When politicians are negotiating with the union to give these deals, and they say, well, you know, if we give you this deal, I want to make sure you turn out at the polls next time, bring all your union members with you. That, I mean, it happens all the time, James, and that's what I'm talking about. They're negotiating with somebody else's money, and then on down the road, that politician is long since gone. They've got their retirement plan put together, but they leave us with the bill.
Yeah. So again, theoretically, this is not supposed to happen. We have pension. We have constitutional requirements to pre-fund pensions that we've just kind of abused. That is one of the problems of public sector unionization, is that you can coordinate to hire your own boss. We're not alone in that, but I think we can. We can still address, even with that, we still should be addressing these pension problems. We've been having a long-term economic recovery. The market has done pretty well, and yet we haven't caught up on these benefits.
The market has done $7.5 trillion upward in the last 2 years. I'd say it's done pretty well, and I would say people that are doing the right thing would have done great. So you say, and you write, the 100 largest municipalities have a total debt of $5.57 billion, but there are some among us that have done it right. A few municipalities have fully funded pension systems, right?
Yes. So there are a couple of cities that have fully funded pension systems. I mean, this is one of the things that just seems kind of random, or maybe that they just have better pension managers. But the city of Kalamazoo has a fully funded pension system. They have for as far back as I can remember. And There are a couple of other places that never offered pensions to begin with. A lot of our larger charter townships just said, oh, we're going to offer defined contribution retirement plans. And when you offer those,
wouldn't
you
have that
don't
been
develop
smarter?
Funded liability, since your promise is to pay what you own. If you don't put in the money for that defined contribution system, your employees have direct recourse to the courts to force you to do that.
Can we get away from pensions? Is it too late?
So I think what government should be doing is converting over to these defined contribution plans, where they can't develop this underfunding problem, where you can't promise something now and pay for it later. And a lot of governments have done that, but that doesn't erase the $5.57 billion of debt that you've got that you have. The only way that you can fix that problem is by putting more into the pension system, and our governments have been doing that. Unfortunately, it just hasn't meant that we're paying down the debts faster than we're accruing them.
So the wheel spins round and round and round. I mean, maybe I see no good news in here, Jan. I'm trying to find the good news here. I haven't found it.
I think the good news is that our local governments are far more responsive to their individual residents. And if more people start paying attention and caring about these problems, I think our local officials would do more to address it. And it doesn't take that many people. I mean, it's really tough for local government managers to talk about these problems because it's a mistake. They shouldn't have developed these things. They didn't want to. There is a problem here, and I think if more residents encourage them to convert over to defined contribution plans and put more into the pension system to pay down the debts that you have, you'd see more of it.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of it paid down, that's for sure. James Homan here, Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. But really, I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars for small communities. I mean, how do you... And you go across the state, you got $5.5 billion there, $100 billion or more in state debt, depending on who you ask, somewhere between $75 and $150 billion, depending on who you ask. Mm-hmm. You get the national debt. It's just, at some point, it's just staggering. It's overwhelming at some point, is it not?
Yeah, I think that it kind of indicates a general problem of politics as a short-termism, as in there are very few political incentives to make sure that you're paying for what you're promising. So that's certainly been the case in the federal government level, where we have major problems with Social Security and Medicare, and that's on top of a huge fiscal deficit. On the states, there are institutional rules that are supposed to encourage better practices, balanced budget requirements, voter approval of new debt, and we've ignored some of those things. But these pensions are the one place where state and local governments can get into a lot of fiscal trouble. And this one area where you could possibly get into trouble, most governments have done that. And that's not just a Michigan thing. Illinois is far worse than we are, but it's something that's occurring in nearly every state in the union.
So government, as a general rule, is completely irresponsible with money. I mean, that's my takeaway right there. Generally,
I think there are few political incentives to keeping a well-funded pension system, and because of that, most governments have seen underfunded pension systems, yeah. And I would like to see that changed.
Right. Yes, I agree. More privatization of such things so you don't have this reckless behavior. That's my takeaway. James Homan, Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. James, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Have a great day. There you have it. 41 after on this Monday. We're going to get back to the campaign trail for a little bit. We're going to go to Iowa and elsewhere and catch up on what's happening out there. You might be amazed. Don't go anywhere. I'm the Steve Gruber Show.
Reverse Osmosis Water Systems from Wolverine Water, Michigan's premier water treatment company, provide the best drinking water you can get. Pure water has never been more important. And right now, you can register to win a brand new reverse osmosis system from your friends at Wolverine worth $2,700. Just go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine contest button. Sign up for your free water test and get entered to win a brand new reverse osmosis system for your home, cottage, or anywhere you want it to be. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine contest button.
My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost, really changed my life. I've lost weight and kept it off, and I feel great. Now it's even easier to make My Pure Health Solutions work for you anywhere, anytime, from the comfort of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom program for you. Not artificial shakes and bars, but real food so you can keep the weight off. I'm telling you, this works. Jared and the team will evaluate your body, create a one-of-a-kind blueprint for you to get healthy, and you never have to leave home. Go to MyPureHealthSolutions.com. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. Do it now.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals, but I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.